and welcome to Muddy River News This Week, furnished by Harvey's. I'm Bob Goff. James B. Stewart is an author and journalist. He's a Quincy native, and he's being honored by his hometown high school this weekend as a distinguished alum, and he's our guest today. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We've chatted a few times over the years, back when I worked for other media outlets and such, and I know you came in rather quickly, but you'll see a stack of books out there in our entryway, and there are 4 or 5 years out there.
Oh, well, that's always nice to see.
I have yet to read the latest one, Unscripted, but I have a trip coming up over Thanksgiving. I plan to get it before then. I have a birthday before that even, so I've said, I want this book for my birthday. That's what I'm reading over Thanksgiving. So.
Well, good. I hope you enjoy it.
What does it mean to you to be honored by your hometown high school like this?
You know, I've been thinking about that. I know it's true for everyone, but you grow up in a small town like this. Everybody kind of knows everybody. Everybody knew my parents, my grandparents. My genes are deep here. And it's kind of no matter what other prizes you get or awards or recognition, it's kind of like, well, what do they think in Quincy? You know, that's always that nagging thought still in my mind. And it's interesting about Quincy because it kind of marches to its own drumbeat. So I don't think it is always that. It's not that impressed by what you've done. But people say in New York that they don't really care. So it's meaningful, I think. It is to get some recognition. Of course, it also I'm getting to the time of life where people want to give you awards, which is I guess that's something to look forward to as you get older.
Well, back in '88, you won the Pulitzer Prize, which of course is the preeminent award in journalism for your work, and with your regular columns and your books and such, what are you working on right now?
Well, I've done a mix of things, as you pointed out, and I had a book come out in February. I'm still kind of going around. In fact, next week I'm going to Charleston, South Carolina for their big book fair. So I still show up at things like that to promote that. But I have a big story coming out in the Times. I think it's going to be in a week to 10 days. I think it's a week from Sunday, maybe. I have to double check that. But I've been working on that for a while. So I do longish features and some other stories for the New York Times.
Don't want to tease what it is right now.
Well, I don't want to say until it's actually out. And then I have another book idea that I'm exploring. I don't really want to jinx it by saying anything prematurely, but if it works out, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think it's a really good topic. So it's nice. I used to worry where's the next story going to come from, and now I realize there's always another story.
It just happens. Absolutely. Many of your work on your reporting right now is really focused on the world of high finance, Wall Street. You've written books on that as well. How did you get involved in that particular aspect of reporting?
Well, I went to law school, and then I worked in a big law firm in New York City for a few years. And the best thing about that really was it was like getting a graduate degree, because I saw the business world from the inside. The firm had big corporate clients, and they were in trouble one way or another. They turned to the law firm. I saw what was going on the inside. And believe me, it's a lot different from anyone on the outside would ever know. So I knew there were stories there. I didn't ever dream of being mostly a business reporter or writing about finance and business topics, but I mean, it's what makes the world go round. It's like, it's money, it's power, it's status, it influences culture, politics, everything. It all kind of goes back to the fact that we all have to make a living. And there's great drama there, and it's often concealed. It's not, what the press releases describe is not what's really going on inside these big corporations. Yeah. So it's fertile territory, and I've kind of never run out of stories, and that's kind of where a lot of my readers are.
You're just you're not that much older than I am, but did the Watergate bug bite you?
It did. I think I was in law school when that pretty much unfolded, and Bob Woodward and Bernstein came out with those books, which were, mesmerizing. And I would think at that point, being an investigative journalist, shot up in terms of, people's both awareness of it and the esteem in which they held it. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, the surveys show the reputation of journalists has been pretty much in decline ever since. But I think it did inspire me that, the idea of the intrepid journalist can go out there and ask questions, and even, you know, the most powerful person in the country, the President of the United States.
And your books, you know, you have the sweet spot kind of media politics and or media politics and business, and you know the ones you've gone, like you said, you wrote Bloodsport, which was kind of talked a little bit about what went on in the Clinton world, and
right.
then Deep State with Trump. How different is it to gather and compile the information for that kind of book as opposed to another different book, like when you're just writing about Wall Street in general?
Well, it's not that different. It's all about getting people to disclose things that in many cases they don't want to, or somebody doesn't want them to. And that's kind of an art form in and of itself. I would say one difference is when writing about the political world, people are, you know, they're both media savvy, but they also, example, like you could say, okay, so what was the weather like on, you know, January 15th, you know, 2021? That's a simple factual question. It rained or it didn't rain, let's say. And in the political world, they'll say, okay, well, why do you want to know? And then once they know what you want to know, they'll tailor their answer to fit the narrative, because they're always thinking, like, what's the political narrative here? So it can be tricky, you know. It's like, you know, my reaction then will be, well, it doesn't matter why I want to know. It either, what was it? You know, this is a fact. There's nothing scarier to the average political operative than an unvarnished fact, I've discovered.
Yeah.
And I would say that's a little less true in the world of business, in the world of law. I had occasion to discuss with someone recently that some of the best sources, the most straightforward people I've dealt with, are military veterans. I did a book about someone who died on September 11th, and I interviewed he was a military guy, and I interviewed everybody who worked for him. They're great storytellers, and they never ask why you want to know. They just give you the answer if they know. If they don't know, they say, I don't know, I don't remember. Super honest.
It is. It's generally there. I mean, that's kind of the way with their chain of command and kind of no BS. That seems to be the way they go, whereas a political answer, it's going to be full of BS.
Yes, right. So on the scale of people that I interview and how hard are they to deal with, the political animals are the most difficult.
With your current book about Sumner Rebstone, what are the differences between this book and then, or I guess not the book, but the stories themselves? What were the differences between that and then the Disney War book?
Well, they're both set in the world of media and mm-hmm. entertainment, but other than that, they're really very different. I always thought the Disney War book is kind of King Lear moved into the entertainment. I mean, right down to there being a so-called magic kingdom at
yes.
Disney. I mean, this is a story of someone who had great wealth and power, didn't want to give it up, and stayed way, you know, past the time
yeah.
he should have been stepping down. There's a little bit of that in Unscripted, but it's more, Sumner Redstone liked to say he was never going to die, which, of course, proved not to be the case, but by the time this story really gets underway, he's very impaired, both physically and mentally. So he's a looming presence in the story, but it's not really about him. It is to some extent about his relationship with his daughter, so it's a family drama, and then his daughter's efforts to assert control over his empire, facing down some really powerful male executives. So there's a lot of exploration of the gender issues. The Me Too movement sprang up in this and has a lot of that in it. So once you get beyond the immediate setting, they're very, very different stories.
Did you watch the HBO show Succession?
I did, although I was careful. I did not start watching it until I'd finished the manuscript of Unscripted, because right from the beginning, my editor said, oh, this reminds me of Succession. And I realized, just reading about Succession, that there were some probably obvious similarities, but I didn't want in any way to be influenced. So then I started watching it, and of course I watched every minute of it, and it has given the book a boost, because many people have compared it to Succession and said, oh, this is the real life Succession, or it's like even worse than Succession. It's even the treachery, the backstabbing,
yeah.
you know, is even worse than they would show on there.
When you but when you look at these books, and you look at any political story, whether it's television, you look at, let's just pick three, like West Wing, House of Cards, and Succession. West Wing, you get this Pollyanna view of politics, and then Succession, you get what you get, and then House of Cards, you get the dark side.
Very dark.
Very dark. And then with Succession, you get, you know, this dark story. And then I guess you could even extend it to like something on Apple TV, like The Morning Show, which is kind of the, you know, he of that. Or I guess The Newsroom, Sorkin's Newsroom had a little bit of both too. So, but your books are like that too. I mean, not all your books are, I mean, yes, you've written about some grim and gruesome things. But again, when you talk about The Heart of the Soldier, like you mentioned, and those kind of books, they're not all the same. You don't want to just write you just don't want to have the same script and go over. You want to write about different things.
Absolutely. I mean, every book has been quite different, and this new one I'm exploring is not in the entertainment world at all, very different. And I think, you know, my publisher early on said, well, could you just write Den of Thieves 2, Den of Thieves 3? And I kept, well, no, I kind of like feel I've done that. Blood Sword was about the Clintons. After that book came out, the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal blew up, and all anybody wanted me to do was write about Monica Lewinsky, and I didn't really want to do it. I felt whatever I had to say about the Clintons was in that book. It would have been repetitive. And anything you really needed to know, I felt, was in that book. I mean, obviously Monica Lewinsky is not in the book, but the fact that something like that happened, you could have predicted from what was going on.
Bloodsport,
in that book, so.
Yeah, and you're right, because Bloodsport was really the Vince Foster
it was
episode,
explored
which
the
was
whole,
a big part of that.
It explored the whole Vince Foster thing. Did Hillary murder him?
She did not.
No.
Let's just say
and
that.
Make that perfectly clear. The whole Whitewater scandal, the real estate dealing in Arkansas, that whole world of Arkansas. I spent a lot of time in Arkansas, believe me. And I found it a fascinating story that transcends them. Again, it's like, you know, here are the ambitious, powerful couple. And they, even though I said they did not commit a crime in Watergate and Hillary did not murder Vince Foster, like predictably with politicians, they hated it. There were unflattering things about them in there that I think very revealing. There were unflattering things about Bill Clinton that have been amply borne out by subsequent events. But, you know, all my, you know, Clinton fan friends, you know, were like horrified. I mean, I'm not a political animal myself. I have some political views, but they don't really affect my work. I like to just know what happened. Here's a mystery, here's a question. What are the facts? And wherever they lead, that's the story I write. And so I'm not thinking, you know, is this good for the Clintons or bad? This is the fact. This is the truth. Let other people judge that. So anyway, I was, you know, drummed out of the, you know, the liberal crowd there. And then in Bloodsport, you know, the same thing. It's not, again, I let people judge for but there was no, you know, Jim Comey was not part of some dark conspiracy to try to undo Trump.
State, yeah.
And so, like, the hardcore Trump crowd, like, they don't like that either. So now I'm drummed out of that crowd. but that I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm just trying to tell the truth. And that's why I think that's why, you know, people say, oh, journalists have a terrible reputation. But I would like to think, no, I don't have a terrible reputation. I mean, two journalists are the same. I'm trying to be very honest with what I'm doing, transparent about it. When I make a mistake, I admit it, and hope that, you know, there's an audience for that. And at least so far, there does seem to be.
It's just the old reporter adage: if everybody's mad at you, you must be doing something right.
Trust
me, I go with that one a lot. So, wrapping up, I know I'm not going to ask you to pick out your favorite book because it's like picking out your favorite child. But does Blind Spot hold a certain place because it had something to do with your hometown?
Well, yeah, I mean, all these books I love for different reasons, and that's originated here, you know, with a phone call from Judge Dennis Cashman that set the whole thing in motion.
Right.
And I do feel it's a very important story. You know, I wouldn't write a story just about a serial killer. It was more, as the title suggests, it was about how the medical profession circled around him and protected him, shockingly, in my view. And I hope it's led to some reforms that will not happen again. That said, my book, Heart of a Soldier, about somebody who died in September 11th, that touches on the biggest themes, you know, of life and existence. It's like, you know, courage, loyalty, honor, love, tragedy. And I don't want to write another story like that. I don't want another September 11th to happen. But given that it did happen, that was an that enabled me to write a story that, you know, addresses to me like the biggest questions of human existence. And so that is particularly meaningful to me. Like I said, I don't want to write another story like that. But
It was a beautiful book. I do appreciate. I read that one more than once, and it was very incredibly touching. Again, September 11th is something. Doesn't matter if you live in New York City, San Francisco, or Quincy, Illinois. You were impacted by it.
Absolutely, and you know it goes far beyond just that one particular instance. I mean, some people said, "Well, I thought this book was about September 11th, but September 11th didn't happen until page, 287." And I think, no, it's a lot big. The story is much bigger than one day. You know, it needed that context. And again, the opportunity to write about somebody who was dead, so I couldn't interview him, but who truly, in many ways, exemplifies to me the best in human nature. I've been happy to have characters that, you know, run the gamut from, you know, pretty evil to very heroic.
Last question, are you still doing some teaching at Columbia?
I just retired in June.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to ask you to put your professor hat back on one more time, and any aspiring journalist that might be watching, what is your biggest piece of advice?
Well, first of all, I feel very lucky. As journalists, we have great jobs. We get to follow our curiosity. But, you know, my advice is be curious, ask questions, and what's more, it's more interesting what we don't know than what we do know. And what we don't know is a roadmap to great stories.
James Stewart, thank you for your time.
Sure.
That's all the time we have for this week. I'm Bob Goff. We'll see you next week.